Let me grab a beer.
This is the Big Ugly Podcast. I'm California Cajun. This is Big Nate. We're not the fancy guys here. We get right to the point. We hit hard and we protect our quarterbacks. Nate, how you doing today, brother?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Just some things I liked in the very first week one, some things not so much, but other than that, coaching and work is going good for me, man. How about you?
It's going, man. You know, having little kids is always tough, but I got to watch the Saints come back against the Falcons, so I've been riding off that for about a week.
Yeah.
So as a Chargers fan, you saw two kinds of the Chargers offensive line and played really well week one, and then on Thursday night, kind of not as much.
You know, I think that Justin Herbert's pocket awareness, like we had been talking about, is actually what kind of bailed the Chargers offensive line out in week one. You know, yeah. he was like moving around in there like a ballerina, you know, defensive lineman flying past him, lineman flying past him, and he didn't let it obstruct his view or anything, and he delivered the ball where he needed to go. This second week, however, like you said, it was a big change. We did lose our center, Corey Linsley, during the game.
Mm.
Trey Pipkins also got hurt during the game.
But some people familiar with this channel, Saints legend Will Clapp was playing center for the Chargers.
Yes, he was.
LSU and New Orleans Saint great Will Clapp, big fan of his, and we're glad to see him getting some reps somewhere.
Yeah, you know what? I was actually not too I wasn't too familiar with him until he got in. But hey, I feel like he plugged in and played beautifully in mm-hmm. the time that we needed him to. You know,
yeah, that's all he always was for the Saints, is that he was very fundamentally sound. He does his job. He's just not going to maul anybody. It's just not his game, you know.
Yeah. So like I was saying, you know, with those injuries, and then of course Storm Norton comes in, and he's on skates pretty much the whole game that he's in. And, you know, I hate to see that because, hey, I mean, who doesn't want to cheer for a guy named Storm Norton? You know, I mean, it makes me want to cheer for him just because of the name.
It's a grown man name right there. That's a grown ass man Hall of Fame name.
Yeah. So, you know, it didn't end the way that I wanted it to against the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football. I am, however, pretty impressed with Justin Herbert on how he just showed the toughness just to finish that game with the rib injury, you know. So,
yeah, as a Saints fan, I can attest that seeing your quarterback break some ribs is never fun.
No, I was in shock the way that his whole demeanor was on the sideline, and even in the game, he did not look like himself. But, you know, having almost two decades of a quarterback that's pretty tough and doesn't miss any time, and Phillip Rivers, I expected him to stay out there and not just stand on the sidelines. So I was glad to see him do that. You know,
don't worry, ladies. We still talk about the big uglies on this show, yes, despite our little foray into the pretty boy quarterbacks.
Yeah, just one of them.
Just one of them. So today I thought we could talk a little bit about some of the offensive lines that impressed us in week one, and some that maybe did not look as good. So, Nate, what's an offensive line that really impressed you in week one?
You know, whose offensive line really impressed me week one was the Detroit Lions offensive line. Man, they were opening up so much running lanes for Swift, able to punch it in the red zone with Jamal Williams. So it was to me, hey, I thought that their offensive line did really good, especially versus an Eagles defensive front seven that is known for run stopping and getting after the quarterback. You know, I felt like they exceeded expectations in my book, and I was really impressed. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be impressed with Detroit. I think they're definitely on the right track, and a lot of that is their head coach brings a real mean and nastiness. He's like an offensive line coach that happens to also be a head coach. He's mean, and he wants their guys to play hard. You know who impressed me a little bit in week one, and I didn't expect to be impressed, was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm. Now, hear me out. Their offense was not great because they are riddled with injuries everywhere, but I expected Dallas to annihilate Tom Brady. You know, a lot of that is he's got a quick release, you know, gets the ball out quickly, yada, yada, yada. But they had three offensive linemen changed out from last season. All the entire interior is new. Their center, they're all pro centers on IR. Both guards are new, and both tackles got beat up in this game. So as they performed admirably, in my opinion, for what they were up against and what I expected of them. How they fare going forward with even more injuries, including both tackles now on the injury report, is yet to be seen. I might be talking about that a little bit later in the show. But for what they went in with and what I expected from them, I was impressed by Tampa Bay not just being turnstiles the whole game.
I agree. You know, I was expecting Tom Brady to have little to no time back there. But I'll tell you what, I do feel like he also does his offensive line a lot of favors.
Yep.
With how fast he could get rid of the ball. So, you know, I think, you know, who's that right tackle? Worfs. Yeah, Worfs. He is still very good. I was actually really shocked that Mason played as good as he did too. Mm-hmm. You know, so they do have some things going on the offensive line, even with all those injuries. But, you know, I feel like they've overcome a little bit. We'll see if it can continue. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a boomer bust type of thing. Am I really thinking that the Cowboys defensive line is that good? No, I don't. So we'll see how they stack up against some of these other teams in the future.
Yep, that little foreshadowing I'm going to be touching on there. Week two matchup a little bit later in the show.
Yes.
So who do we think didn't look so good in week one? I have a clear answer, but I'll let you go ahead and pick one first.
You know what? I'm going to go with two teams that they both looked really bad this first week one, and I'm talking about the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams and Super Bowl hangover and their offensive line just being a turnstile and letting everybody and anybody get to the quarterback was a horrible thing to be seeing all day, especially sitting next to a Rams fan all night while she's wondering what happened to my team.
Yeah. We got to talk about that whole Rams fan thing. I don't know if it's going to work out. So I agree completely on both of those, man. Cincinnati put so much money and so much effort into beefing up that offensive line. And then week one, admittedly, Pittsburgh is an excellent defense.
Yes.
But Joe Burrow's your franchise, and he was getting killed back there. There's a reason he threw four interceptions in the first half of that game. He was under fire all night. And that's the only thing that's going to hold Cincinnati back is that offensive line or Eli Apple. But we're an offensive line podcast, so let's talk about offensive line. As far as the Rams, I'm gonna come out and say it. I've been saying all offseason the Rams are going to regress. You know, there's a lot of egos and a lot of contracts come and due. There's a lot that the Rams put all their chips in to win the Super Bowl last year. And by golly, they did. And now they're paying the price tag for it. They look real thin at a lot of positions. They still have great players. I still think Aaron Donald's the best player in football. But at a certain point, he can't win you all these games when Stafford is going to need time. He's coming back from that elbow surgery, I think it was. He clearly didn't look comfortable back there in week one. And if you don't give him time, he's going to turn the ball over like he has on occasion in Detroit.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I think that is something that's often overlooked when you have a veteran like Andrew Wentworth retire to just his presence on the offensive line.
Now you have a lot of these,
now you have these younger guys on the offensive line that, you know, are trying to fend for themselves and lead themselves, you know, and there's a lot of times where an adjustment like that does play a huge role in the success of your offensive line.
Yeah. A thing that jumps out to me, sometimes I think leadership is overrated in football. You don't need a ton of leaders. You need a few, with the exception of, I think on the offensive line, you need leadership because they work as a unit and you need all five guys bought in. And if you have a guy like a Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer who played at LSU, by the way, a little plug for my Louisiana listeners. he's that leader by default. There are a lot of teams who are trying to find new leaders after guys retire and move on. And, you know, receivers, you don't need a receiver to be a leader. Running back, you don't need to rally behind your running back, but five guys in the line have to play together. And a lot of that comes from having a vocal veteran presence.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, there's got to be somebody on that offensive line to be able to lead like that, just like you were saying, because they're the ones too that, you know, the quarterback's going to trust on the offensive line. If the quarterback is, you know, dealing with a whole new offensive line, he's not even going to know who to trust. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, so I think that really showed with all both of those offensive lines, and it showed that there's some more to be desired from their offensive line play for sure.
Yeah, I think it jumps out more because I expect such improvement from Cincinnati. And again, Pittsburgh's real good on defense, so there's a chance that it's kind of something they're going to work out. But, you know, first blush with Cincinnati, not great. Mine, again, was not the worst performance, but my pick was the most disappointing, and that's Indianapolis. I thought the Colts had the best offensive line going in this. I think they were number one in my power ranking when we did this a while back. And if they weren't, they were top five, because I really expected them to be a dominant offensive line. And you couldn't put more than 20 points on Houston, who does not have a good defense, who don't have a good run defense. They don't have really big playmakers on that defensive line. And you got guys like Quentin Nelson should have been driving. You should have had holes to drive trucks through in that game. First off, a tie in week one, disgusting. Oh, this NFL is terrible. I hate it. But that Colts O-line, I really expect a lot from them. I expected them, the Colts, to be really good this year. They've got a great running back. I thought they had a great offensive line, and I think that they improved their quarterback situation. Defense should be fine. All these reasons that the Colts should be good, and then they go and tie what I think is an inferior Houston team, and the line doesn't play good in the outing.
Yeah, you know what? I agree. I took the Colts in a survivor pool week one, thinking – oh, this is a lock. The Colts are going to start tearing through this division. Mm-hmm. No, I'm out of the survivor pool now.
Yeah, if I was in a pool, that might have been my pick as well.
Yeah, you know, so I watched that game, and I did see the lack of a push on the offensive line. I mean, it looked like Jonathan Taylor was trying his best to make anything possible, you know, and yeah. And I don't know if that, you know, correlates with Matt Ryan holding on to the ball as much as he did too. But he did not do a good job of getting rid of it. He did not do his O-line any favors. Right. He was borderline horrible back there.
Everything we just said about Tom Brady a minute ago, he did the opposite of that.
Yes, absolutely. You know, you know, I did expect more. I thought that game was a lock for the Colts, and just because their run game and their offensive line, and then bringing in a veteran like Matt Ryan, I thought, hey, you know, this team's gonna get it going early and fast, but I was disappointed, to say the least.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so let's look ahead a little bit to week two. Obviously, the Chargers have already played, so you don't get to talk about your hometown team this week. What is one offensive line matchup that you're really watching for? Either one that you think is going to play really well, or one that you're a little worried about?
Well, I'm going to say this. I feel like the Saints and Buccaneers game, I feel like – this is the week that we will see if the Bucs line is able to overcome all the injuries. Cause I feel like you guys have a good front seven, and I feel like you guys give some consistent pressure, and Tom Brady's going to have to get it out of there fast. And we all know the battle that goes on between Mike Evans and Lattimore over there too. So it should be fun, you know, and I really do feel like even on top of that, your guys' offensive line is going to have their work cut out for them too. Because, I mean, hey, we all know that the Bucs front seven is for real with their from pass coverage to getting after the quarterback as well. They get it done. So I think that that's one of the better marquee matchups. It's a divisional game. Oh, yeah. You know, didn't mean to steal your thunder. This is the team or matchup you're going to talk about.
I feel like he knew I was going to talk about this one too. One note to add on that is one of the things that Tom Brady does to protect his offensive line is get the ball out quickly. And he's able to do that because he has such a good receiving core. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have 5 different receivers on the injury list this week. Godwin's already been ruled out, and the other 4 are questionable. So guys like Mike Evans and Julio Jones are really good names on paper, but if they're both hampered by hamstrings and they're not getting open quickly, that could put their offensive line in a big disadvantage, which again is against a good front 7. So I've got another one, since I was admittedly going to talk about the Bucs offensive line being in trouble. I want to talk a little bit about San Francisco and Seattle. So Seattle, I think, surprised a lot of folks. They played better than we expected. There's a theory about that. So hear me out. This theory, and I'm going on a tangent. I ramble. This is what we do. That bad teams play better in week 1 than good teams. And the reason that is because good teams have been saving their starters. They've been resting guys in the preseason. They've been, you know, keeping everybody healthy because they know they're going to be fine. They'll figure it out. But bad teams, all their starters have been playing. They've been playing in the preseason. They've been working harder. They've been getting themselves going because they know that they don't know that they're, you know, going to be good at any point later in the season. Why you got to just go now?
Yeah.
So a lot of folks say, you know, maybe that's why Seattle came out a little bit stronger than the Broncos. Broncos expected to be better. They got the better quarterback. So Seattle comes out, punches them in the mouth. San Francisco, same kind of situation. We thought San Francisco was going to be real good. We both thought their offensive line was going to be really good. Do you think it matters how badly they played in Chicago, or is that an outlier because of those horrible wet conditions they were playing in?
I think, yeah, the conditions always have something to do with it. But I do believe that this offense is trying to find their groove with the young quarterback back there. You know, I think that, you know, the offensive line has to get used to blocking for a scrambling quarterback. We talked about that during our very first show, how much fun it is to block for a scrambling quarterback.
Oh, you said fun, and then I remembered pain and misery. So it's interesting. We clearly have different definitions here. Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment, as both of us painfully know. It is an adjustment when you don't know where the hell your quarterback is behind you. You know, do you think San Francisco holding on to Garoppolo is a sign of not having all that much faith in their new guy?
I think it's a backup plan for sure. You know, I can see if you know, this offense stays a little stale the way that it looked last weekend. Fans are going to be calling for Jimmy G. You know, I mean, shoot, I would be calling for Jimmy G if, you know, if things don't start to progress here. But I do feel like, you know, they went up against a pretty, I think, an underrated defense in Chicago. You know, I feel like, you know, Roquan Smith is one of the best linebackers in the league. I feel like, you know, they don't have like big names, flashy names on their defense anymore after the Khalil Mack departure, but they still have some solid guys that are good in run support, and they'll get in the offensive line's face and be physical. And, you know, being a guy that likes both sides of the ball on the line, hey, I think that that's you know, a good recipe to help Justin Fields carry on in the season, you know, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's why it's so interesting for me to see them in week 2, San Francisco specifically, because they looked so bad and it was such a mess that they were trying to play in soup. So it is going to be interesting for me to see if you know, our preseason predictions of them being good are accurate when they're able to play on a real surface, as opposed to whatever the hell mess Chicago's Soldier Field was.
Yeah. My kids were watching that game with me, and they were like, they're like, look at that. They're like, it's splashing all over the place. So
yeah, there's a good clip of one of the Bears linebackers mic'd up. It's like, oh, I thought I was swimming in a pool. It's fun. I wouldn't mind playing in a mud pile like that. But then again, I'm an offensive lineman and we don't like to be clean.
No, I think it's definitely a big, ugly type of environment to play in for sure. You know, I think I've said to a couple of skilled players before in the past, when it was raining, I love playing in the rain. They looked at me like I was crazy. And that makes me believe that it's only something a big man can love doing is
preferably
splashing around.
Preferably on a natural field so you get the mud everywhere. That's what it's about.
The muddier, right, the better.
Mm-hmm. You know? I want when I pancake that guy, I want mud up in his face mask. Yes. I want all that nastiness.
I don't know. And you know what? It just feels more like, you know, secluded type of it just, you know, it makes your offense have to zero in on ball control. You know, just playing in the elements like that, splashing around with your offensive line unit and just, you know, just ground and pound the football. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah, turns
you
it into
know
rugby.
That's where it's going first. What was that, Craig?
Turns it into rugby real quick.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got sweat coming down your face mixed with a little mud. I like it.
Yeah. Although it will ruin my makeup.
I forgot you and your eye paint.
We like to call it war paint. Okay, where I come from,
it's eye paint, eyeshadow, whatever.
All right. So the last thing we want to touch on this week, we mentioned a few rookies we were going to be watching for in our first show. Now that we're into the season, let's see how our guys are doing.
Yeah. So earlier, before the season started, I talked about Chargers right guard Zion Johnson to watch out for him this season. I feel like he has been nothing short of my expectations these first two games. I feel like the Justin Herbert being able to move around in the pocket the way that I had described earlier has a lot to do with him being able to step up into the pocket because of Zion Johnson and Matt Filer working together on the inside of the line right there. And I feel like, you know, the young kid has some really strong, you know, a really strong presence over there in the Chargers offensive line already. I've seen, you know, more them trying to run the ball more inside with Austin Eckler opposed to the outside runs that we're all used to, mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like that's because they see the power that's on the inside of the line with Zion Johnson.
Yeah, he's looked really good.
I'm looking forward to seeing this 316-pound man just, you know, continue to open up these run lanes for Austin Eckler. I hope he does a little bit more. I have not been very happy with the run production of our offensive line as of these first two games. So we'll see if they can get it going. You know, now they got another veteran running back there with Sony Michel. And, you know, I do like the way our backfield's looking, and I think we should be able to ground and pound. And, you know, and that's what I want to see. That's what I like to see. And, you know, whatever can get this offensive line moving. You know, sometimes I feel like when an offensive line is running the ball good, it gets more cued in for the rest of the game. Pass blocking and run blocking are a thing that you have to join together. And, you know, once you get the physicality of the run game going on, everything else kind of just sets in place. Yeah. And I feel like once we get that going, you know, Justin Herbert will feel more comfortable back there in the pocket as well.
Yeah. Once you've established that you're coming off the ball and knocking the snot out of somebody in the run game, they're not flying upfield on those passing downs because they're waiting to catch you hitting them. So it absolutely benefits pass blocking. If you can run the ball early, it will help your pass protection later on. Absolutely. So let's see, my rookie, lots to talk about on him. Trevor Penning is on the injured reserve list. He played in the preseason. He looked real rough week one, especially in pass protection. Looked a little bit better week two of the preseason. Week three, drove down the field, hurts his foot. It's a toe injury. Finishes the drive. We score a touchdown. He's run blocking. He's manhandling people. Turns out it's a torn ligament. He needed surgery. That we're looking at, he's not going to play again until looks like about Thanksgiving. So come on, November. So there's a lot of potential there, and there's a lot of promise, and he was improving, and now we're going to be sitting around waiting to see it.
Yeah, I was sad to hear of him. Yeah, me too, personally, because You know, you're seeing growth from him during the preseason. And then you're also seeing these clips of him still mauling people, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it's in there, you know, it's, you know, just itching to explode out onto the scene there. And to see somebody that plays as hard as he does and, you know, just takes the time to learn while he's still, you know, trying to perfect his craft, get hurt like that right before the season starts. I would be crushed,
yeah,
you know, just as rough. A, you know, cause, hey man, these big guys, they don't have it easy. You know what I'm saying? You can be a flash in a pan as a offensive lineman. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with nagging injuries, mm-hmm. Things that never actually heal right or end up sitting right. And I'm hoping that, you know, his foot injury doesn't linger. And as soon as it's ready to go, he's ready to go, because I know you guys could use the boost up in your offensive line as well.
Yeah. That's the worst part of it is in week one, our left tackle really struggled. And I'm thinking that's why we drafted a left tackle in the first round. So that's going to be something to watch for down the stretch. Hopefully the Saints can tread water until they bolster that offensive line. And hopefully he comes back and keeps improving the way that he was.
Another offensive lineman we could talk about is the Giants rookie offensive lineman. He looked pretty decent in his was it Evan Neal?
Yeah, Neal from Alabama, right?
Yes. And he looked pretty decent too. You know, he you know, the Giants, I think, surprised a lot of people. And I think that you could only chalk that up to a win for that offensive line as well. You know, them being able to go over there and get it done and you know, turn the tides of their losing tradition that they've fallen victim to in the last couple of years. I feel like, you know, that's you know, a big win for them, and getting their momentum going early is always good, you know? So,
yeah, they were almost my team to watch in week two. The big thing is people talking about the resurgence of Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is now suddenly running behind a much improved offensive line. That's going to help. You're suddenly going to make those 2-3 yard carries are going to be 5-6 yard carries if your guard is able to get to second level. So a lot of credit's going to Barkley, but I think a little bit of that might be going to Neal in that revamped offensive line.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, everybody, this is probably all we have for this week. We just want to be your favorite source for fat guy news and offensive line talk. So for Big Nate the Great, for myself, Craig Wright, the California Cajun, thank you for joining us this week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Big Uglies.